We have a special music guest in the studio. Recording artist Ken Dimash is with me. And Ken, really glad to have you with us this morning. Thanks for joining me on your radio tour.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Now, your radio tour is taking you all over the place. Like, where have you all been?
That's so funny. Every time I go somewhere, they ask me where I'm going, and I'm like, I have no idea. I have to look at the itinerary. It's like taking your dog to the vet. You know, I don't want to know if it's going to hurt. I just want to get there. But, you know, this week, I started out closer to home in Warrenton, Missouri, which was, you know, not a far thing at all. I live in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember where I went next. Then I ended up in Prairie du Chien for a little bit. And then I was over at Potosi. And then we were just over at Savannah, Illinois. So it's a lot of miles. It's a lot of miles. And every week is a different one. So we have an itinerary just to be hitting all different parts of the country, you know. And it kind of grows out. I mean, I'm lucky. I live right in the middle of it. But we're going to be, you know, heading out to the coast and then going to the other coast. Those are just a little harder to do. You know, you got to fly in, get a car. But that's all on the radar. We're just out doing it, you know, just station by station.
Giving you the chance to perform in some really interesting places.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I was telling you before we got on the air, I got to play at a brewery, which was so cool. You know, so here I am playing, you know, If I Was a Beer at a brewery. Yeah, how fun.
But yeah,
you know?
It doesn't get better than that.
And I was cracking myself up because half the songs that, you know, until you're at a brewery, you didn't realize, oh, gee, almost every song I have on every album is about having a beer or being at a bar. I mean, they're not all, but it was like really funny to be. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, I guess another song about being at a bar is appropriate.
Well, I was going to say you're well equipped to perform at the brewery then.
For sure. Yeah, it was a blast. It was a blast. But yeah, going out to radio stations is the luckiest thing. You know, we were talking earlier how much, you know, really as a performer, as an artist, as somebody putting music out, there's so many ways that artists are putting out music now. And, you know, my core belief is that radio is the place to put music out. Everything else I feel like would follow. And I think radio is the cool place where you turn the radio on. I love the drive, by the way, because you tune into what you can tune into, and then you get this whole new experience. You like meet different people on your drive. And I love when there's people talking too. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about musical influences. I was driving in here, and Phil was talking this morning to two young ladies that had a new educational program. I was loving it. And I was assimilating everything of that to my upbringing. And that was like a really cool thing that you're not going to get on your playlist or anywhere else. So I just wanted to take a second and thank you guys for doing that.
Well, thank you. You know, I mean, you bring up a point that, you know, I think, you know, we're, of course, I'm very happy to hear, but also just, you know, for smaller community radio that, you know, I think it has its own unique style and feel depending on the area you're in. And if you're tied to a small community like we are, it gives us the chance to, you know, put the spotlight on our community while still playing music, but adding our own little local blend to that. And I think that's how small radio can still survive and thrive in today's world.
For sure. And I would say that as a testament to that, you know, I was out last week, the week before, I'm going out next week, the week after. I really can feel like the community when you go. And around the stations, too, it's neat how the locations of some of these stations, including yours, you kind of arrive into this area. You can feel a little bit of the buzz. And, you know, getting out to perform to those areas, which I was talking about at the brewery and so forth, so cool to see people in their backyard, you know, and to be there. And in a smaller venue, really, really cool. And to know that those are people that, you know, they're listening to the radio. They're, you know, they're waiting to hear what you have to say. It's a sad thing to not be talking about more. Right. You know, and I know right now we're kind of preaching to the choir. There are people listening to this and they're like, yeah, we know, you know, but there's you know, there's a lot of people that don't. And, you know, it's almost like a marketing campaign that needs to happen. Like, you know, like Got Milk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like got FM, you know, got something. And there you go. That's the next thing. Let's see if we can get that on billboards because I think it's really important.
I'll have you write the jingle for me. Okay?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I mean, like, you know, you bring up a really good point. You get to be a part when you're doing these traveling and you go to these radio stations, you know, the smaller ones and whatnot. You become now part of that story. for each place you go.
How neat is that?
Yeah, and they'll remember you, and that's how you get, you know, special group of fans that stick with you.
How cool is that? Yeah, and where else do you get that?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think, of course, yes, you know, in bigger areas, you know, people can, you know, depending on how much, you know, they get marketed, the person, mm-hmm. that maybe they will be, they may take off, but I think it's more genuinely grown from, like, radio tours and such.
I'm banking everything on it. You know, I mean, because I really believe it, and I appreciate being here so much.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you. And you know, one thing that I thought was really interesting is your whole story. Like when I was looking into, you know, you coming here and that, I was just kind of stunned to see how you've transitioned to get to a love of music and a music career. Mm-hmm. Like you started off with really not much of a music background. You didn't have much music growing up.
I wish I could tell the story, because I think of other artists that I can kind of picture them growing up in the garage with their dad working on an old truck and having, you know, Willie Nelson playing in the background and stuff. I didn't have that at all, you know. And I grew up, my sister, by the way, was playing classical piano a lot. Oh. So after a while, to learn classical piano, that's a thing.
Yes.
And what you don't know is if you're the brother of that that's going on, you're hearing that over and over and over and over and not correctly done. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's called the learning process. They, you know, so music, that was like, you know, I didn't have that lane growing up. So my lane was, as I was telling you a little bit off air, I was interested in magic.
That's awesome.
And I loved drawing. And I was also mentioning that, you know, he had an earlier interview with those the young ladies that had the new school program. And I was lucky. I grew up with my dad as a psychologist going, Kenny's really good at drawing. And they got me into the St. Louis Art Museum for classes.
Wow.
And even in high school, they looked at me and went, well, we don't really know how to teach you art. You're really... You just get it. Mm-hmm. So they let me go to Washington University and study art while I was in high school. Just an unbelievably creatively different program that I don't know anybody that gets lucky enough to do that. And then, you know, I was telling you, I wasn't a very good student. I wouldn't sit still. I was disruptive. I was, you know, I wasn't a bad kid. I was just a happy hyper kid.
I was going to say, you have a lot of energy.
Lots of energy. And it's like, that's like my superpower right now. It's like, I just have so much energy. And they always make fun saying, we could put Kenny in a room and he would just laugh. He would just be happy and smiling and laughing. And it's like, I don't know why. I just have this bubbling energy out of me and I have to put it somewhere. So I didn't like to read because that's the opposite, you know. And my dad's like, well, you didn't know how to read. So he realized I was interested in magic. So I was telling you, he would take me to the library and go find books on magic. And I'd rent those books and I would read them over and over and over and over and I would memorize them. And then I could learn how to do magic. And you take that experience in life. I took that to becoming an architect. I didn't get to tell you this. I never went to school to become an architect.
Wow.
I'm a registered architect. And I was just lucky to, you know, do the job under architects. And they let me take the test. But to pass the test, I basically went to the library. Mm-hmm. And I took stacks of books. Stacks. I mean, as tall as me, stacks. And I would start memorizing them. I would also handwrite the books I didn't understand. Like on structural engineering, I would handwrite all the formulas because my dad would tell me, you know, to learn things, like even my own lyrics. I handwrite my own lyrics down to get it to where they're permanently in my mind. So you learn by writing, you learn by hearing. My dad would listen to audible tapes of stuff he wanted to learn. So I basically learned how to be an architect from the library. I learned how to be a magician from the library. So it was just a neat type of experience. And to hear those two ladies talking about a school that does that, I think is brilliant. You know, in music, not to just babble on, but music, by the way, I don't know if hardly anybody would know this. It literally saved my life. Like I was coaching soccer and I tripped over, you know, one of my favorite kids on the planet, like a son to me, you know, but it's like, he snuck under me somehow and I went back over him and I hit my head so badly, you know, and you know, I had the worst concussion. It was severe. So for like that year, I mean, I would meet with people. I'd have to hold on to the table because I was just like, wow, it was bad. But I found I couldn't even do emails because if I'd go to type, it was like, oh, I was just dizzy and this wasn't good. And my dad's like, yeah, brain injuries aren't cool. So I don't know if there's any, this isn't like, you know, medical advice or anything. And I'm not saying this is a realism, but in my head it is. I would sit at emails and just, you know, just kind of just be looking at my emails and just have my guitar in my lap doing nothing. And all of a sudden it's like, even though I'm playing for you right now,
yeah,
you can probably see it. It just like puts this calm in me,
mm-hmm,
and it just feels good. And I would do that. And then I go, okay, I could do my emails. And then, you know, okay. And it, I then read, after I got through all of that, that music therapy is about helping your brain to rewire and to find different channels to get different parts of it to connect again around the damaged parts. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not anything to have any real advice on this, but I swear playing the guitar, playing the piano, and even today, you know, I don't know if everybody else, I think anybody I talk to wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about whatever's wrong, you know?
And oh,
yeah. If they don't know what's wrong, 3 o'clock in the morning tells you, you know, I'll always wake up like, oh no. Or if you're a really busy person, you know, oh, you wake up and you're all stressed. I tell people, keep a notepad next to your bed and write down what you're worried about and just close that notepad and go back to bed. Don't put it on your phone. Don't open an email. Don't email yourself because you're going to see 50 other emails.
Right.
Just write it down. And my bigger trick is I'll write it down, but then I still haven't gotten rid of whatever that worry or whatever that, oh, I got to do it tomorrow or whatever it is. I'll get up and I'll put my headphones on my keyboard and play my keyboard for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, what a happy place. What a great place I'm at. Boom, back to sleep. Now, it doesn't happen every night, but I literally started to learn piano at 3 a.m. It's like, well, I'm going to wake up. I better start teaching myself how to play piano.
Wow. So, it sounds like you're very in tune with your learning process, you know, being able to, and your dad probably really helped along the way, but to learn the best way for you to approach, you know, stressful things and to teach yourself how to get the, you know, the lessons that you would need to do these things.
For sure. Yeah. I would hope everybody would be lucky enough to find the thing that just puts them in a happy place. You know, so for me, you know, if I can draw for a few minutes, so all of a sudden, happy place. If I can play the piano for a few minutes, happy place. If I can play the guitar for a few minutes, happy place. And just knowing that about yourself, you have to do things you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's life, and things are going to get really rough. No matter who you are, you're going to have stuff that's just really going to be hard, really hard, and you're going to have to figure out a way through it.
True.
You know, and if you have some kind of a crutch or an aid that helps you, you know, and that, you know, that could also be a great wife. You know, for me, I have a great wife. I mean, she's just amazing, and you know, so I talk to her every day, and we always go through, you know, the strains and the tribulations of life, and actually, I did a song on it, and you know, that's a song we have out right now. It's just about that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you were just playing there a little bit, mm-hmm, you know, showing me how you would kind of calm yourself.
Right.
You want to play a song for us this morning?
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, I'd love
to. Yeah.
So this is a song that, as an intro, I actually found out I wrote this 10 years ago, which, it feels like something I might have written during the pandemic.
Okay.
You know, because it's like you're pondering, you have a lot of time to think, and perhaps it came back, but it's from a minute ago. And like I said, my wife and I go for walks every day if we can, and it's a common theme. It's like, you know, well, what are we planning with our life?
Right.
You know, where are we going, and are we getting to the right place? Are we doing the right thing for our kids and all that? And boy, if we did this, wouldn't that just be something, you know? Just another year, and we'll be happy. I keep hearing these words from Jerry Rafferty. If we could make our way back down Baker Street, I bet we'd find out right where we're supposed to be. Where we're supposed to be. But life's happening now, ever trying to figure it out. Just a little more time and maybe we'll find out what it's all about. Life's happening now, so take a good look around. Maybe we'll see that it's something that we've already found. Life's happening now. I used to think things were so darn easy.
Now I'm starting to find out who I wanna be. Who I wanna be. Cause life's happening now. Have been trying to figure it out. Just a little more time and maybe we'll find what it's all about. Life's happening now. So take a good look around. Maybe we'll see that it's something that we've already found. Now if we close our eyes, we might miss it. Don't want to be left with empty wishes. Yeah, you and I keep trying to fix this. Maybe all we need are more kisses. All more kisses. But life's heaven now. After trying to figure it out. Just a little more time and maybe we'll find what it's all about. Life's happening now. So take a good look around. Maybe we'll see that it's something that we've already found. Life's happening now. Na 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 na.
Yeah. Man. Wow, that was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, it puts me in a happy spot. I'm just picturing going for a walk with my wife and trying to figure out life and, you know, starts talking about Jerry Rafferty. You know, just, I mean, that was a play track of my life just to get me through life, you know, talking about, you know, Baker Street.
Yeah.
Just references a whole lot of things in my head.
Can't help but smile when you have a tune like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we'll be right back in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of your background and how you've been, you know, working hard. You have a brand new hit that's now up to 53 this week.
Yeah.
You know, If I Were a Beer, we played that a little bit ago here, If I Was a Beer. And yeah, we'll talk more in just a moment.
Cool.
And we are back here on WRCO Radio. I'm Bo Henricks, and I'm joined today by a special artist, recording artist Ken Dimash is with me. And we're just talking a little bit before the break about his new song, If I Was a Beer, which has been doing quite well, moving up on the charts. It's at 53, and that's got to be encouraging.
It's so, you know what? It is literally a hard road to hoe. You know, it's like going out, doing this station by station. It is really hard. And it really helps you feel good when you look at it and you get the email as you're driving. It's like, hey, just went up from 56 to 53. Feels good.
Gives you that little extra bit of, you know, verification or, you know, what you need to know to really push yourself.
I mean, and I get it. I mean, it's not all about that, you know, for sure. You know, it's about so many things. And really the whole thing, you know, as I was telling you, you know, I just have to do it. It's kind of like, you feel good if, you know, if you're playing music or you're doing this, but not to do it almost feels like at the end of it, you know, at the end of my journey on the earth, I don't want to show up and be like, yeah, thanks for, you know, showing me that I could actually sing and play music and stuff. That was cool. Appreciate it. What'd you do? Not a whole lot. You know, I didn't do it all the way. You know, I had two songs out a minute ago. They both charted and they did pretty cool. It was a countryfied and Ding Dang Darn It. And that was really fun. And then it was like, you know, life needed to be, you know, put on the front burner, but to not know that it's been kind of simmering the whole time and to not address it would be, I couldn't not do it. Sorry, I forgot what you were talking about.
That's
perfect. That got me there. sorry.
Well, no, like you said, you know, you may not have started with a lot of music growing up, but your path led you to the arts. And because of that, I think you got, you know, the performing aspect of being a musician, you know, you met that and learned how to do it. So when you did make the transition to being a musician instead of a magician, you were pretty well prepared.
Yeah, as we were saying, I mean, I secretly, if I go to shows, like the hey, you know what? Hopefully nobody shares this, but CRS Country Radio Seminar, right? When I went to it this last year, I went to where they had all the big performers. And, of course, I went in, I listened to the sound, and, of course, I wanted to get on the stage to see what the audience looked like prospectively from the stage, because every international magic competition, here's a fun little story. Again, nobody in the world knows other than my dad. In Hawaii, there was that international competition, and I got to the stage the night before, got on the stage, and was trying to see where the crowd would be. Like who I'd be looking at, because when the spotlight's on you, you can't see anything.
Right.
You're like on a gravel road looking at a truck. You can't see anything.
Yep.
So you wanted to know where you're gesturing, where they are, so you're not just kind of guessing. You can at least feel like you're connecting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other person that showed up there who, by the way, happened to be the other person that did first place with me.
Wow.
Out of hundreds. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, you're actually getting prepared. And then there was another show one time in St. Louis that was years later that I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and do that there. You know, I'm going to do a show. And it was so fun. I got to the theater, you know, months in advance, and I kind of studied it to see what it was made like. And I'd say, like, magic, from a magician's point of view, I totally cheated, which is all that is cheating. But I looked at the floor, the wood boards and things, and I created props that laid flat on the wood floor with the same stain, not to give away any tricks, but I used the environment to create this act that couldn't really be done anywhere else. It was right. So funny. I was just cracking myself up, just kind of going, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of this because it's my hometown and I know the theater and I've studied and I worked out everything to take advantage of it. But it's a great feeling to be up there. And yeah, it totally translates. And I tend to talk too much. Sorry, we're on radio.
No,
but it's kind of fun when you're talking to people on a stage. People, they seem like they listen. And you know what I mean? And it's a cool interaction. I mean, I really feel it's an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually hard when I stopped doing magic performances. I remember to do a regular job. It took a minute for me to get used to this, like you and I talking.
Right.
I was so used to a room having, you know, at least a room of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you were dealing with a group as an entity instead of literally, and I'd have to say the one-on-one actually helped a lot.
Oh, I bet. It's a whole different type of energy.
It is. But I mean, it's almost like now that there's that energy, when there's a full group, you know, like I was saying, we're just doing a show at the brewery. It was so neat. I mean, I think I made friends with everybody there, you know, and that's the fun part about it. You get up there, it's one thing to go to a party and try to meet everybody. It's so fun to just be like, hey, I'm gonna do some songs, you know, and what song do we want to do? And you just, you know, it's like I was there and I was doing all of my own stuff, but then for a second it was like, you know, I was just joking around. It's like, here's one that I wrote, and they're like, what? It's like, here, train to come, and they're like, no, you didn't, you know. I'm like, of course I didn't, I was just joking. But then this one lady was just tapping her toes, so I'm like, well, yeah, we're going to keep going. You know, it's like, let's see the whole song. We just had so much fun, and everybody knew it. It was just like, it was really cool. And like I said, I generally like to do all of my own material, but, you know, it was a one-on-one interaction. So I was just playing with that one person at the moment.
Well, that's it's its own tailored experience then. For that one person, they got something even more out of that whole, you know, performance that they probably didn't expect to get.
Oh, and so did I. And I would say the whole night was just full of that. It wasn't a spotlight night, so mm-hmm. you could see people, which is really fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a different experience. If you're in a theater, you want to have the spotlight, the house lights down, so that you're able to command attention. There was that movie, Ray, that had Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he is so gifted, talented, you know, he took like 100 people's talents when he was in line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, give me another one. Yeah, you know, I want to be funny. Yeah, I want to do everything. But he played Ray Charles brilliantly. And one of the things I thought was really cool is one of the managers, when he decided, you know, Ray Charles as the person decided, I'm going to do a blues album. And they're like, no, Ray, no, you've got this locked in. Don't do that. He gets on stage, he starts doing it, the crowd's booing, and the person, like his manager, said, kill the house lights, give him a spotlight. And the point of that in my head was, yeah, they're all distracting. Like, you can see everybody else's reaction.
Right.
And as a group, they were kind of feeding off of that. And when they shut the lights down on the group and just put it on Ray, it was like, oh, okay, let's hear what he has to say. And then he just owns the crowd. And the part that's really neat about that movie is, I think it's true, that Jamie Foxx actually played the piano, played with Ray Charles to get the signature sound and the phrasing.
The mannerisms.
Brilliant, but actually played it and sang it. I mean, how hard is that?
Oh, yeah. That's going the extra mile.
That's just going a mile. That's going off of a road that nobody can find a path. I mean, that's just like doing your own song. It's a beautiful thing about it. Like, even that song I was doing a minute ago, I was just lost. And I got lost. I didn't even do all the lyrics, you know, but it's like, well, whatever. It's my own path. Not everybody knows it. I can just kind of drive around. If you're doing someone else's stuff, you've got to learn the mannerisms, the phrasings. It's hard. Doing your own music is freeing and different and throws out a new experience. So it's a totally different type of art.
When it's your song, you really get to say, okay, if I play it differently today, guess what? This is its own new version, you know, where <Well. laughs> if you do that to somebody else's song, then they're just like,
terrible.
I don't like that.
Here's a funny story too, just to wrap up what you were saying about how the magic prepared me. My dad we'd sit down and we'd try to figure out, you know, he's so cool just to sit there with me and say, well, what kind of magic show you want to do? It's like, well, I think it'd be cool if I was a waiter coming on stage and there was a table set for people and the bottle of wine, I took the cork off and the cork disappeared and then it appeared on my face. All of a sudden, there's all these corks everywhere and, you know, there's a routine with corks. And then I pick up the wine bucket and there's a tip on the table and I keep grabbing in the air and there's just money everywhere and then there's dollar bills flying everywhere and I'll do a whole routine where it's just like this magical night at a restaurant type of thing. And he's like, all right. And then I went and made up all those props and made up that whole routine, and that's what won in Hawaii. So he's like, have a theme, you know, come up with a theme and follow through. So it is the same with music. You know, it's funny, you know, like if I was a beer, it's a theme. The theme is beer and it's a perspective of a beer. And how do you follow that through a whole story? Mm-hmm. And how do you have a climax of that story, an aha moment? What's about, you know, what does it make it to where you want to hear it again? And the thing is, you know, how does it make you feel? I always thought it was interesting. You'd watch a movie. I don't know why people would watch a movie again when I was growing up. It's like, I know how it ended. You watch a movie again because it takes you somewhere you like to be.
Right.
And whether that's a thrill ride like a roller coaster, or whether it's, you know, it's set in this beautiful Tuscan village and you just wish that you lived that life or whatever. So you watch it over and over. Or for me, The Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger. And then I watch the whole movie just to see it when he's not allowed to compete. And in my head, you know, I'm trying to live that Heath Ledger moment where he's like, you know, no, I'm a knight. I'm going to compete. Like, run, Will, run. He's like, no, I won't run. I'm going to go in and do it. So in my own little head, when I'm doing the music and everything, there's a lot of brilliant artists. It's a big, big arena. And, you know, maybe I'm not really, you know, born into it or equipped to compete, but I feel like I'm going to compete. I'm here. You know, I feel like I can step up to the table. And it's that moment of, yeah, I'm going to do it. You know,
I think you actually like explained it perfectly. You know, like I've had those moments too, you know, where you put yourself there, you know, you watch those movies and that, or those, you listen to a song to recapture that feeling, because, you know, sometimes you're like, maybe you're in a bad mood and you want to hear a song to recapture that happy feeling, or, you know, that just to get you away from the rut you're in. So, no, that's awesome.
Can I do a quick one?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to do another song for us, what you got?
Well, this is a song that, for me, I think is that happy summer song. And, you know, I apologize, this doesn't come out until, like, early next year.
Ooh.
But, you know, it'll be released to radio in, like, March. But it's just like you're saying, there's some songs in my head that I like that put me in that happy place. And I don't know why I wanted to capture a song that kind of was an imaginary happy place for me, in a sense. So.
Right.
She had her long legs dangling from the edge of the dock. We were nearly 17. Her eyes were shining brighter than the water that was glistening. And when she laughed, when she smiled, all I could do was grin. And even though it didn't look like I was doing much, I was imagining her and me, just her and me. Holding hands and dipping our feet. Her and me, just her and me. Some tan lines in them cut-off jeans. And all the things that we could have been.
I was imagining. Whoa. 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 And when her mama called and it was time to go in, I tried to find ways to make it never end. Swinging rope, jumping in. Man, I was a cannonball champion. And when she'd laugh, when she'd smile, all I could do was grin. And even though it didn't look like I was doing much, I was imagining her and me, just her and me, holding hands and dipping our feet. Her and me, just her and me, some tan lines and them cut off jeans, and all the things that we could have been. I was imagining. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, that summer came, that summer went. It was the best dang summer that I ever spent. I can still see her dancing in that hot summer mist. Sun halo glowing, she was heaven sent. With that laugh and that smile, now all I can do is grin. When I think back to that summer wind, I was imagining her and me, just her and me, holding hands and dipping our feet. Her and me, just her and me, some tan lines and them cut off jeans, and all the things that we could have been. I was imagining. Whoa. 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 She had them long legs dangling from the edge of the dock, and we were nearly 17.
Okay, that was another real banger. Wow.
I love just, you know, I just love how that feels, just picturing the whole thing. And
that puts you in a good mood. That really does. Yeah, it does.
It just make you think of just good, innocent, young love and nice weather and just splashing and just living that life. And just, you know, and that song, by the way, just, you know, when you're trying to write a song, I wrote that song, you know, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and it just never was right. It just wasn't right. And okay. The part that made it right, in my mind, mm-hmm. was it didn't have that, you know, it's like, I had all that about, you know, she had her long legs, it had it all figured out. And it's like, it doesn't really do anything. It just keeps talking about it. And then it was like, you know, to turn it around to where, you know, just to the present tense, you know, it's like, when I think back to that summer when, it's like, oh, okay, you're singing the song now about thinking back to that time. And how you loved that time. And it leaves it open-ended. So it could be a song, I think, for listeners, it's like just a song of how neat it was. You know, you think about, you know, when you were in grade school or something and there was somebody you had a crush on or whatever. Right. You know, you put it in your own mind. But for the music video, we're actually going through the first cut of it. Just to give you an example of how ahead you have to be on this stuff. So mm-hmm. we filmed it this summer for a release for a next summer song, you know, to use. And the... where was I going with that?
Well, that's a big process, though, that you have
really
to go through.
It's a really big process, yeah. And just to have each song, like, mapped out. Like, you know, right now, If I Was a Beer, that's going on. That's front of my mind. But the next song we're putting out is called Drink About That. And that's not for, you know, several months. But it's kind of like that follow-up song, which is a different feel. And then we have this different kind of beautiful ballad. I don't want everybody to think all Kenny does is, you know, beer drinking, party songs, which I do like to party. But I also, you know, there's a serious side. And this other song we're going to put out for the holidays is called Snow Angels.
Oh.
Different thing altogether. I can give you a taste of it if you want. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to take forever.
No, you're fine. Let's hear it.
It was 1995, right around Christmas time, at a party when your eyes were cold, mine. That winter night was cold, but we didn't care. We just laid in the snow and watched all breath fill the air. We made snow angels like it was on very first time. We made snow angels, light side by side. A little further down the road, got a house, white picket fence. A hound dog hit a couple of kids. Now we'd watch them play and we'd watch them sled. And at the end of the day when they were finished, we made snow angels like it was our very first time. We made snow angels light side by side. Holding hands and gazing at the stars, together we made our bond. And when we're together looking back at all we did, all that'll matter is. We made snow angels like it was our very first time. We made snow angels light side by side. We made snow angels. We made snow angels. We made snow. It was 1995, right around Christmas time. I'm at a party when your eyes caught mine.
That was good. That was awesome. You know, I want to say that, yeah, I think it's really great that you were able to reach this point where you've started to, you know, you do your performing and you're touring and that, because I, you know, you can tell somebody has talent and they enjoy what they do when you put yourself into that performing, you know, and you get yourself into that mode. And, you know, watching you perform this morning, you know, to our listeners, you know, I can tell you for certain that you really look like you're really getting into it. So that's
well, awesome. And I, you know, it's funny. It's like doing it on the radio. Yeah, I will say I kind of try to close my eyes and think about it. I want to perform for you, but I know I'll get like so into that I'll end up just telling different stories and having fun and, you know, interrupt myself too much. And it's hard. That is like literally going through my head while I'm doing this here. But it is a different experience too when performing it for people. Yeah. You know, you don't close your eyes. You don't just try to you want to make sure that you're like looking at everybody. Right. And like looking at somebody and connecting and just being like, you know. Matter of fact, there was a magician, Lance Burton, who, you know, people might know him from going to Las Vegas and stuff, but he was kind of, you know, you talk about who's your idol in music or what are your influences, and I'd say Lance Burton was a huge influence in my life. He doesn't maybe know it, but in many ways, he's a big influence, frankly. But from a performance thing, he would do this magic show, and he just had the audacity to just stare at somebody in the audience, right?
Oof.
He would stare at you. And like take a newspaper and tear it up, and you'd be like, okay, he's gonna make it all be back together. No, he'd just be still looking at you. All of a sudden, a dove comes out of it. It's like, snap, throws a piece of paper down. He takes a little candle, lights it. It changes into a dove, and he's just staring at another person. So it's like this matador challenge, you know? And I thought, that is the coolest thing. You know, that dude is just making it so bad to the bone. And it's like this, he's like individually challenging each member of the audience to figure out how is this stuff just happening. And and that was like the favorite thing he did that I've ever seen him do, still my most favorite thing. And there was another performance, by the way. They have like Olympics for magic, right? Literally like every 3 years. It's really crazy. And I was in one, which was really, there's like only like they limit who can be in these the ultimate competitions, right? The guy that won it was amazing. He did a show as a bum on a street corner. Again, theme.
Yeah.
You know, what's your theme? And as a bum on a street corner, a little girl woke him up and he's like, oh. And he started doing tricks and he made her cat disappear and she was traumatized by it. So the whole show was him going, oh, but wait, let me. He grabbed little pieces of light and threw it behind him. The whole back lit up as stars. Like, here's all the stars and the moon. She's like, no, I want my cat. And then no words, just all music. And then he's like, well, wait, watch this. And he did something else and birds all appeared. And she's like, no, I want my cat. Well, wait, made all these flowers and candy. No, I want my cat. And the very end, he makes the cat appear, and he goes and lays on the bench and covers himself up with newspapers again. And she goes over to thank him, and he's gone.
Wow.
I mean, I'm almost bawling telling you. It's so good. That's so that so kind crazy. Of feeling. And on that song, I was just doing that Snow Angels.
Yeah.
When I get to that last lyric, every time, I don't know if you could tell. I don't want to look at you when I'm doing it. I'm like ready to bawl. And in studio, powerful. I was bawling. Like just the face was just like, you know, when you know, I can't even say it again. It's That's just so that cool. last lyric just means so much to me as I'm singing it where I am that it like puts me with my wife. And when she heard it, she was just crying her brains out. I'm like, cool, this is a good song. This is if you're crying or you're tapping your toe, that's the barometer for what we release, like literally.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
And anyhow, I've been talking cool. a lot. I know it's talk radio right now, but.
No, I've appreciated having you here, but you want to make sure to get this here. How can people get in and learn more about you and
your
music? Oh,
yeah, thank you. I guess we should talk about that. Yeah, so yeah, first off, it's Ken Dimash. And as we were saying, it's pronounced Dimash, you know, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like Do the Mash, you know, it's like Domash, but you know, my whole life it's been Dimash. I guess they're just trying to be fancy. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, we're trying to be, you know, Italian or something. Dimash. And if you just go to kendimash.com, that has all the current information. You know, you can go to Ken Dimash Music if you do Facebook. If you do Instagram, you can go to Ken Dimash Music. Shocked me that I couldn't just get straight up Ken Dimash.
Well.
You know, because there's nobody on the planet, literally, with that name. It's like, why would you want that? You know, it was like different letters just happened to come together to be Ken Dimash. And you do Ken Dimash on TikTok. I'm there. It's just the name. And then Ken_Dimash for Twitter. If you were to just look up, if I was a beer, Ken Dimash, you will find the YouTube video, which has my lovely wife. And then you'd also see all the videos, which has my lovely wife as the hidden co-star. And when you see the imagining video, you know, it has her as a little surprise very ending. And we have another song coming out, like I said, in like September-ish that's called Drink About That. She's the love interest in that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ken. I really appreciate having you here. Be sure to stay tuned, people, and you can hear as well as If I Were a Beer. Look that up. Watch the music video. I think you'll really enjoy it. Already at number 53 this week here on WRCO.